Shuka bracha first, bracha tali be'erukum shakol niyev din faro. Let's see what pages we have here. I'm hoping we'll be able to start on Resh Lamed Tes and finish up some of Simon Yud Beis. Okay. Do you have Resh Lamed Tes? Which I gave out, I think, either a day or two ago. So we'll want to.
You meant that you want me to get the copies?
No, they're right here on the table.
They're here already.
I meant to say pick them up.
Yes.
Okay.
Sure.
Yeah. And the Resh Lamed Tes.
So if you take a look at Resh Lamed Tes, on the bottom right, he quotes a Rambam. Now, again, just to refresh our memories, because we're sort of jumping in the middle of this Simon Yud Beis, keep in mind that we have a fundamental machlokas between the Marshal and the Magen Avraham as to whether or not on Purim we're obligated to be koveh suda al apas, where the Marshal is of the opinion, yes, that the Simcha of Purim is even greater, exceeds beyond the Simcha of Yontif. So if in Yontif we have to be Koveh Suda Al Pas, then how much more so on Purim? Whereas the Magen Avraham says no, that there's no Chiv to be Koveh Suda Al Pas. And we try to explain the Shita of the Magen Avraham based on Rabbi Kivega. Rabbi Kivega, who tries to interpret the Rush, says that there are two mitzvahs on Yontif. There's one mitzvah called Oneg and another mitzvah called Simcha. As far as the mitzvah of Oneg is concerned, which applies on any day that's sanctified with the status of Mikrei Kodesh, we have to be Koveh Suda. That's the mitzvah of Oneg. But as far as the mitzvah of Simcha is concerned, which applies throughout the entire Yontif, even Chol HaMoed, there the mitzvah is Achilas Basar and Shtias Yain. There's no requirement of being Koveh Suda. Therefore, says Rabbi Kivega, on Chol HaMoed there would be no requirement to be Koveh Suda. All you'd have to do is fulfill the mitzvah of Simcha, which means Achilas Basar and Shtias Yain. As far as Nashim are concerned, they don't have the mitzvah of Oneg because they're part of mitzvah Seishas Man Groma. And even though they're included in Simcha, but they don't have a chiv to be koveh suda la pas because that chiv emanates from Oneg, and women are not included in Oneg. So according to Rabbi Kivega, if, for example, I omitted Yalav V'Yavo in benching on Chol HaMoed, or alternatively, if a woman would omit Yalav V'Yavo in benching even on Yontif itself, there would be no need to repeat Birkas HaMazon. So then we go back to the analogy or the equation of the Marshal, and the Marshal was interested in equating the Simcha of Yontif with the Simcha of Purim, and if the Simcha of Yontif requires to be Koveh Suda Al Pas, then how much more so does the Simcha of Purim, which is even greater than Yontif? Well, that's not true if you accept Rabbi Kivega, because if you accept Rabbi Kivega, Simcha on Yontif does not require Achilas Pas. It's only Oneg that requires Achilas Pas. And Oneg only applies when the day is endowed with the status of Mikrei Kodesh. So if you talk about Purim, Purim is not Mikrei Kodesh. So it doesn't have the mitzvah of Oneg. It only has the mitzvah of Simcha. So he even says the Magen Avraham to the Marshal, even if I grant you your very basic premise that the Simcha of Purim is even greater than the Simcha of Yontif, but the Simcha of Yontif itself doesn't require Kviyas Suda Al Pas. And therefore, even in the case of Purim, which has the mitzvah of Simcha, you have to eat basar and drink wine, but you don't have to be koveh suda la pas. That's the Magen Avraham. The Marshal, on the other hand, basing himself on the Rush, will say that the Simcha itself generates a chiv to be koveh suda la pas. And therefore, according to the Rush, it would come out that on all days of Yontif, meaning even Chol HaMoed, insofar as it has the mitzvah of Simcha, would require Seuda. And once you're taking your paradigm from Yontif, that Simcha requires Seuda and Achilas Pas, then in the case of Purim, which has even a greater Simcha, for sure it's going to require Achilas Pas. That's more or less where we got up to on Wednesday, or whenever it was. But we added another piece, actually. I shouldn't forget that. And that is that the Gemara Masechta Megillah establishes that Megillah is called a Yontif because it says, La Yehudim Aysa Ora V'Simcha. And Chazal say in the Gemara at the end of Megillah, the first part of Megillah, the Gemara says, Simcha Zu Yontif. And the Gemara actually invokes the pasuk V'Samachta B'Chagecha. So when the Marshal understood this Gemara, and it was crystal clear to him that when it says about Purim La Yehudim Aysa Ora V'Simcha, that the mitzvah of Simcha applies equally to Purim, or maybe even more than equally to Purim, than it does to Yontif. And in that sense, what we have is a mitzvah to be koveh suda al hapas. Now again, even though the Gemara does say in Megillah Daf Hei Beis that the people of Israel never accepted the original plan of Yontif with regard to Purim, but nevertheless, that's only as far as Issa Malach is concerned. But as far as calling Purim a Yontif for the mitzvah of Simcha, for sure that was accepted and codified in the very essence of Purim. So Purim is a day of Simcha, even if it's not a Yontif as far as Issa Malach, but it is a Yontif as far as Simcha is concerned. And that the people of Israel accepted upon themselves. Says the Marshal, in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Simcha, you require Kviyas Suda Alapas. Hence, if you omitted Ala Nisim, you would have to repeat Birkas Hamazon, and that's the sheet of the Marshal. The Magen Avraham on the other hand holds that Simcha only generates Achilas Basa and Shasiyas Yayin. It's only Oneg that would generate, and we don't have Oneg on Purim, we only have Simcha on Purim. And therefore, there would be no chiyuv to be koveh suda lapas. Hence, if you omitted alanisim, you would not repeat Pirkas Hamazon.
In the Megillah, where it says Yom Tov, it's talking about the Chodesh, not necessarily. I mean, I don't remember if it's more than one place, but it's a Chodesh Asher Nepach Lehem Yagon Nesimcha.
That's a different pasuk. We're talking about the pasuk here on the bottom of Reish Lamed Ches, the last few words on the page, where it says, La Yehudim Haisa Ora V'Simcha. And that's referring to Yudalit and Tesvav.
Yeah. Okay, but that's...
So that's not the whole month. Now, you have another question. You want to know, would the whole month of Adar have a Chiv Simcha? I don't know that that's so. Is there any source for that? I mean, I'm happy to say that the mitzvah of Simcha only applies to Yudalit and Tesvav.
No, but I was talking about the idea of comparing Purim to Yom Tov. And when we say Purim, we don't mean Adar. We mean Yud Dalet and Tet Vav.
Right.
So the question is, if that's the only place in the Megillah where it says Yom Tov, it's talking about the Chodesh, not necessarily the...
Right, again, this pasuk is talking about Yud Dalet and Tet Vav. La Yehudim Oysa Ora V'Simcha is referring to Yud Dalet and Tet Vav, not to the Chodesh.
But it doesn't use the term Yom Tov.
Right, but the Gemara says Simcha Zu Yontif. That's the Gemara's language at the end of the first paragraph. Right. That's the Gemara's interpretation. I would never have the chutzpah of saying such a thing. That would be audacity on my part. But the Gemara says it.
Okay.
So Rabbo say all that was just a review to take us up to date, so that we begin now with the paragraph that says Vehine, which is on the bottom right on page Reish Lamentes. Good?
Yeah.
Now, we're going back to the Rambam to see exactly how to fulfill the mitzvah of Simcha on Yontif, because that's going to shed a light on the nature of and the obligation of Simcha on Purim. And the Rambam says the following. Shivas Yemea Pesach, this is Perek Vav Halacha Yud Zayin, Ushmonas Yemea Chag, Imshar Yomim Tov, Kulom Asur Behesu Yotainis, V'chayev Odom Lios Behem Sameach V'tov Lev, Hu Ubono V'ishto B'nei Beisa Kol Anil V'meil V'shenemar V'samachto V'chagecha. Af Al Pi Shasimcha Murakan Hikar Ben Shlovim, Yesh Bechlal Osa Simcha L'smoach Hu Ubono V'bnei Beisa Kol Echad Karoy Lo Ketzad, Ktanim Nosinam Kloyos Egoz V'magdonos, Nashim Konelem V'gadim Tu V'gadim Tachshitim Noyim. Kvi mamona, hanoshim oklim basav v'shalsim yayin shein simcha ela b'basav ein simcha ela b'yayin. So that's the Rambam in Hilchas Yontif. Now let's fast forward to the Rambam in Hilchas Megillah, Perek Beis Halach Yudalit, and compare the two. Mitzvahs Yom Yudal Bnei Kfarim Ayoros Kvei Kfarim VeAyoros VeYom Tesvav LeBnei Krochim Lios Son Yom Simcha UMishte. Yom Simcha U'Mishteh. Now wait a second. the Rambam has in Hilchas Yontif a definition of the substance, the essence of Simcha as Karoilo. Let's just, you know what, we should bold those words, Kol Echad Karoilo in the Rambam. So you'll see this four lines up before the end of the paragraph. You have it? Now that Kol Echad Karoilo, L'chora, especially according to the way we presented the Marshal Shita, should have its parallel in Simchas Purim. Because again, the Marshal's whole thrust is that whatever applies in Simchas Yontif v'Samachta v'Chagecha is going to apply on Purim by virtue of the fact that the Torah said, that the Pasuk says, Olayhu d'maisa ora v'simcha simchasu yontif. And yet the entire premise or principle of Kol Echad Karoilo is completely omitted by the Rambam in Hilchas Megillah. And the Rambam says the following, Ketzad, what is the nature and how do we fulfill the mitzvah of Simcha Umishta? And he says it's Chova Seuda. And again, if you want to talk about Seuda, you could talk about maybe being Chova Seuda La Pas. And yet the Rambam says Sheyochal Basar, he should be eating meat. V'yitake in Seuda Na, he should have a beautiful Seuda. Kefi Asher Timtzi Yado, based on his financial ability. V'shose Yayin. So the Rambam has three elements here, but he doesn't have a fourth element. The three elements that the Rambam has is, number one, to eat meat. Number two, that the Seuda should be a beautiful banquet according to whatever you can afford. And number three, drinks wine. No mention here of Kol Echad Karoilo. And it would seem from the Rambam that the Rambam is setting objective standards as far as Simchas Purim that apply to everyone, no matter who you are, you know, whether you're Anoshim, Noshim, or Ketanim. And this whole structure of the Rambam in Hilchas Yontif, that Simcha means Kol Echad Karoilo. So for example, on Purim, I'll ask you a funny kind of question. Do you have to give out Kloyos that goes in McDonald's? Doesn't say it. The Rambam omits it completely. He has it on Yontif, but not on Purim. Do I have to buy my wife beautiful new clothing and beautiful new not earrings, what do they call it? Jewelry. Do I have to buy jewelry for my wife on Purim? So if I'm stingy, I say, look, it's good enough I bought her jewelry three times a year for the Yontif. Why do I have to buy her jewelry for Purim? But if you're going to say that the Simcha of Purim is a parallel, a mirror image of the Simcha of Yontif, then whatever the Rambam said in Hilchas Yontif should be parroted and repeated here in Hilchas Megillah. Yet the Rambam doesn't mention a word about Kol Echad Karoilo. He seems to be setting up absolute standards that apply to everyone. Gevaldige kasha. And in order to answer this question, the Gevuras Yitzchak quotes the Brisker Rav. And he says the following. When we want to isolate or identify the key words in the Rambam and Hilchas Yontif to define the mitzvah of Simcha, v'samachta b'chagecha, and its kiyum, then we should underline the following words. And now I'd ask you to go back to the previous paragraph, Divrei Maaseh V'Hineh, and on the fourth line, to underline the words Chayav Adam Lios Behem Sameach V'Tov Lev. You have that? If you want to highlight that. Says the Brisker Rav, what is the nature of this Chiyuv on a Yontif of Lios Behem Sameach V'Tov Lev?
How do you define that behavior?
And he says the following. That you and I might think mistakenly, and that's what the Rambam is coming lafuke, that, you know what, I eat a piece of meat, I drink a mouth of wine, and I'm sameach. I'm in a state of rejoicing, because I'm enjoying very much the piece of steak, and I'm enjoying very much the wine. Says the Rambam, no. You know what, eat a piece of meat and drink a piece of wine, and drink some wine. But that's not the be-all and the end-all. That's part of an overall program. When I say overall, all-encompassing, when I say all-encompassing, what I mean is it encompasses the entire 24/7 of Yontif. And that's what the Rambam means, Lios Bahem Sameach V'Tov Lev. The way the Brisker Rav interprets the words Lios Bahem, it doesn't mean pinpoint certain moments of time T1 in the morning, T2 at lunch, time T3 in the afternoon, in the evening, and at those moments be Sameach. But rather, the entire day of Yontif should be a day in which you are in a state of Leos Pohen. It means all of the details, all the minutiae, and the Rambam has Kolecha Karoilo, dividing it up into three different categories, all of that is a means to an end. That's just the background. That's just the effort that might, you know, halakhically be required, and according to the Rambam it certainly is required, in order to achieve the Kiyum HaMitzvah. But the Kiyum HaMitzvah is Chayev Leos Bahem Sameach V'Tov Lev. That encompasses the entire Yontif. Now, let's fast forward to the Rambam in Halacha Yutes, in the same Perek Vav in Hilchus Yontif, and the Rambam says that Afal Pi Shachilu Shesia B'Mordos M'chal Mitzah Sei Lo Yia Ochel V'Shose Kol Yom Kulo. So the Magid Mishnah says, what does it mean he shouldn't be Ochel V'Shose Kol Yom Kulo? What's the Rambam trying to convey to us? And the answer is, we have Machlok Shem Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua in Psachim Samaches. Rabbi Eliezer says that you have two options on Yontif to fulfill the mitzvah of Samachta. Right. You have either Ochel V'Shose, or you have Yoshe V'Shona. Either it's Kulo Hashem or Kulo Hachem. Rabbi Yeshua says, no, you have to split the day and integrate into the day both. You've got to have Chetzi L'Achilu Shtiyah and Chetzi L'Beis HaMedrash. And we have a rule that if there's a Machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, according to the Kol Yapsak, Halacha is like Rabbi Yeshua. So the Shoges Aryeh in Simon Samach Tes writes that a person on Yontif has to fulfill both. It's got to be Chetzi L'Achem and Chetzi L'Hashem. It means he has to dedicate some time to Esek HaTorah on Yontif, and he has to dedicate some time to Achila and Shesia on Yontif. And this is all derived, from, according to Rabbi Yeshua, from Psukim, that you need Chetzi L'Achem and Chetzi L'Hashem. Now, we're about to turn the page and see the kasha of the Shages Aryeh. This is on the top of page Reish Mem. Why does Rabbi Yeshua need psukim for Chetzi L'Hashem and Chetzi L'Hashem? After all, the Torah says V'samachta b'chagecha. And the answer is that if not for the special psukim, I would think that the chivs of V'samachta b'chagecha on Yontiv, which is called B'chol Meini Simchas, and I would say that Divrei Torah is B'chlal, he says Afilu Hachi B'chol. What was this? Chav Shin, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I didn't hear that.
Just one second. Oh, B'kolshkein, I'm sorry. B'kolshkein, Bein Rav Lemait Sagiluhu, Kimoshar Simchas, the Sagiluhu, in Mesamechas Atzimahem, Afilu Bizman Muot. So this is really interesting. That he's saying without these psukim, we would think that, you know what, during the course of the Yontif, you have to find some time for Divrei Torah, some time for Achil and Shesia, but Afil is Zman Muot. It's enough that you have a few minutes here and a few minutes there. You've already been Mekayim your Simchas Yontif. Kamashma and Kro, what Rabbi Yeshua wants to learn from the Pasuk is Chetzia L'Hashem, and Chetzia Lachem, which means that you have to really split your time. It's not just a minute here and a minute there, but rather you have to take the entire day, split it into half. Again, I don't mean half sequentially, but I'm saying the total should be a half for Talmud Torah, which is Lachem, and a half for Simcha, which is Lachem. On the other hand, according to Rabbi Eliezer, a person should dedicate his entire day either to Achil and Shesia or to Divrei Torah. And that's how he fulfills the mitzvah of Samachta B'chagecha. According to Rabbi Yeshua, and we accept Rabbi Yeshua, he has to divide his day Chetzi Lachem for Achil and Shesia and Chetzi Lashem for Talmud Torah. So it means that the Chovas Simcha on a Chag is not a chiyuv of a Maisa Simcha for one moment, but rather we're talking about the entire day, and we're splitting up the day into two parts. So let's just focus for a moment on Simcha. Simcha has to encompass the entire day. Now, how does he achieve that Simcha on the entire day? Well, He's going to spend half of the day Lashem and half of the day Lachem, and then he's going to be in a state of Simcha during the entire day. So again, the main thrust of what we're saying here is that Chetzi Lashem, Chetzi Lachem, which is derived from Psukim according to Rabbi Yeshua, means that we're talking about the entire day as a unit. If not for those Psukim, V'samachta b'chagecha, you know what? You could be Sameach on this moment of time by eating, you could be Sameach on this hour of the day by learning, and that's enough. But no, Chetzi Lashem, Chetzi Lachem. So it comes out that the Shagas Aryeh has, at this point, a very common a common platform to that of the Brisker Rav. We said the Brisker Rav derived from the Rambam that the entire day of Yontif should be a day that's all-encompassing in Simcha. And that anything you do, it's only a means to an end to achieve Simcha. And that's okay. That's good. That the Shagasari is saying that we derive from Psukim, Rabbi Yeshua derives from Psukim, that the entire day has to be dedicated to Simcha, which means half the day to Talmud Torah, the other half to Achila and Shasir. So that's the Shagasari in Simon Samach Tes. Now, we want to sort of rewind to the Shagasari in Simon Samach He. And there, he says the following. That the Gemara tells us in the last parak of Psachim that when the bayis stood, the mitzvah of samach v'chagecha required one to eat basar shlamim, and that's what it means when we say v'samach v'chagecha ain simcha el b'achilas basar. It means basar shlamim. And yet, paradoxically, the Rambam says that the simcha of v'samach v'chagecha could be fulfilled in many, many different ways. Right? Kol echad k'roi lo, but it could be fulfilled through this, through that. It's not limited to achilas shlamim. So he says the following, that the mitzvah of simcha, which we require to be mekayim on a regel, it's not a simcha pratis, but rather it's a simcha klolis. And that means that the entire day of Yontif is dedicated to simcha in any different type or method of simcha. Whatever you have the potential of doing in order to achieve simcha, that's what you have to do. That's not like shar mitzvah sheshavim b'chol adam. Every other mitzvah is objective. You know, you have to eat a kazayis matzah, and it doesn't matter who you are, you have to eat a kazayis matzah. But in simcha, it's called echad karoilo. Each person is obligated in simcha based on his needs, or I should say his capacity. And it's very subjective.
But when you say based on his capacity, then it sounds like you know what the needs are. And the question is, how much of it can he afford to do?
Exactly.
Able to do?
So what are his needs? So here the Rambam says, Kolecha Karoilo, Noshim have their needs, and Anoshim have their needs, and Katanim have their needs. Now, how much money is he going to spend on it? Because the sky's the limit. The answer is, that's Kafi Mamono. That's depending upon Yecholto, his potential. The Rambam repeats this in Sefer HaMitzvahs. He writes, Inyan HaSimchu Shenekat Nakriv Shlomim. But he says, Bechlal, included in this mitzvah of simcha, above and beyond bringing a carbon shlam and eating its meat, Amru v'samachta b'chagecha, l'smach b'hem b'kol minei simcha, lechol baso, l'shtas yayin, for women it's l'bosh b'godim chadoshim, for the children it's l'chalik minei peros, minei mesika. And that Rambam in Sefer Mitzvahs, Mitzvah Nundal, parallels what the Rambam says in Hilchas Yontif. And basically what we're saying is that the chova simcha on a chag is not a chova maisa simcha, but rather the chova is lios bahem sameach v'tov lev, and that encompasses the entire day. Now, how exactly are you going to achieve lios bahem sameach v'tov lev for the entire day? That depends. You know, everybody has his own individual method or means of coming to simcha, and that's called kol mini simcha kol aroilo. Now, let's see how we'd apply this whole structure to Purim. Purim, the Rambam omits kol echad karoilo, correct? So it seems that on Purim, The definition of simcha is fundamentally different from that of yontif. And he says the following. It's not exactly yontif le'inyan simcha, but rather a chiyuv simcha unto itself, with its own rules and regulations, the kirma mitzvah of simcha on Purim. And that's not to be identified with v'samachta b'chagecha. So therefore the chovas simcha on Purim is not like the chovas simcha on yontif. The chovas simcha on yontif is an ongoing continuous mitzvah or chovah that encompasses the entire day, but in Purim, the chovas simcha is pinpointed, is singled out and limited to a particular maisa of achilus pasan shesias yayin. And therefore he doesn't have a chiyuv to be sameach b'chol shah v'shah. So this whole thing of chayav adam lios pem sameach v'tov lev, that applies to yontif, it doesn't apply to Purim. The mitzvah of simcha on Purim means to eat basar and drink wine. He doesn't have this all-encompassing mitzvah or chovah to become, to bring himself into the state of lios pehem sameach v'tov lev. It's not b'chol shah v'shah. It's pinpointed on certain moments in time when he's eating meat or he's drinking wine. Therefore, the Rambam doesn't say chelkeu chetzi al achila v'chetzi l'beis ha-medrash. That din of chetzi al achila and chetzi l'beis ha-medrash applies uniquely to yontif. Why? Because yontif, as we said, the mitzvah of lios ben sameach v'tov lev encompasses the entire day. So if you encompass the entire day, you dedicate half the day here and half the day there. But you won't find that with regard to Megillah, with regard to Purim, because on Purim there is no all-encompassing chiyuv simcha lios ben sameach v'tov lev for 24/7. But rather, the mitzvah of Mishta and Simcha on Purim is limited and focused on those moments of Achilas Basar and Shesias Yayin. So therefore, the entire concept of Kol Echad Karoylo is completely inappropriate for Purim. On a Yontif, where the Torah wants you to be in a state of Simcha the entire day, all 24 hours of the day. So now you can say Kol Echad Karoylo. You know, how do you achieve that Simcha, and how does she achieve that Simcha, and how does my little child achieve that state of Simcha? Lios ben sameach v'tov lev. And that's called Kol Echad Karoylo. But in the case of Purim, the Rambam omits Kol Echad Karoylo, and there doesn't seem to be any subjective criterion for Simchas Purim. It's objective totally, and the Rambam tells you exactly what you have to do, A, B, and C. Why is that so? Because we're talking not about the Simcha of Lios ben sameach v'tov lev that encompasses the entire day.
That's
Yom Tov. But rather a limited, restricted Simcha that applies to certain moments of the day when you eat the basar and you drink the yayin. So again, the presentation here assumes a combination of A plus B. Whenever you have A, you'll have B. When you have B, you'll have A. And that's the concept of Simchas Yontif. And what's the A and what's the B? The A is Lios Ben Sameach V'Tov Lev, which encompasses the entire day, as we saw in the name of the Brisker Rav. And the B is Kol Echad Karoylo, the subjective Simcha. So when the entire day has to be one full day of Simcha, we're not going to pinpoint a specific mice. So we're going to say Kol Echad Karoylo. The halach is not going to demand one objective standard and simcha, maisa simcha for everyone, because the mitzvah is not a maisa simcha. The mitzvah is not maisa simcha. The mitzvah is to be in the state of simcha, which encompasses the entire day. For 24 hours, you should be in the state of sameach v'tov lev. Then go ahead and do whatever maisa you want to do that'll bring you on a subjective level to the state of simcha. That's simchas yontif. Not so on Purim. Nowhere do we find on Purim the obligation of Lios Behem Sameach V'Tov Lev. Nowhere do we find on Purim Kol Echad Karoylo. All we find on Purim is that the Rambam requires you to eat meat and drink wine and do it Lefi Yecholto. You know, what does it mean? That on Purim the mitzvah of Simcha is a Maisa Simcha. And a Maisa Simcha is, number one, limited to a moment in time. Number two, a Maisa Simcha is objective and applies to everyone equally. There's no subjective element. And therefore, we have two omissions in the Rambam in Hilchas Megillah. Two things that the Rambam writes in Perek Vav Hilchas Yontif, and he omits it in Perek Beis Hilchas Megillah. Number one, Nowhere does he say kol echad karoilo. He doesn't have that subjective. And number two, nowhere does he say lios behen sameach v'tov lev. Because lios behen sameach v'tov lev is uniquely related to yontif, where the Torah says that your entire day should be encompassed, if I can use that word, in yontif, in a state of simcha, I mean to say. So how do you encompass the entire day of simcha? There are two methods that have to be employed. Number one, you have to make sure that you find the appropriate method or means that will bring you to the state of simcha. Number two, you have to enjoy that state of simcha and carry it through the entire day. In Purim, we don't have that. In Purim, we have a Maisa Simcha. The Torah identifies, or the Halacha identifies, a certain action that's called an act of simcha, and that means Achilas Basar or Shasiyas Yayin.
And when we say Kol Makadesh Yemiko Rorilo, is that like Shabbos, like Yom Tov?
Say it one more time.
When we say Kol Makadesh Yemiko Rorilo.
Oh, that's interesting.
Lo refers there to Shabbos, not to the person.
Right. You have to understand what the Chazal meant when they established that Nusa. Mm-hmm. If you open up a Siddur, maybe if I have a chance, I don't know if I'll do it right now, but if you can open up a Siddur, I'll look at it.
It's Yom Kippur.
It might be in the Yom Kippur Matzah too, when Yom Kippur overlaps with Shabbos.
Here you have the interlinear again.
Oh, okay. I have to get reoriented when I look at
this. Siddur. This looks like a weekday
Siddur. On the top of Yom Kippur. Hmm? The Siddur on the top of it.
This is also
but Yosef, if you don't mind, I'm just going to continue only because I have a lot on the agenda for today, and I know you're asking a brilliant question of Karoilo here, but I don't want to get distracted right now, and let's see if we can continue. So again, are we talking about Simcha that encompasses the entire day, or Simcha at certain moments of the day? Herein lies the distinction between Yontif and Purim. On Yontif, the simcha encompasses the entire day, because Shav Shah, whereas on Purim, it's only at that moment when you're involved and engaged in the Maisa Simcha, which means Achilas Basar and Shasiyas Yayin. Now, if you could fast forward for a moment to page Resh Mem Aleph, a paragraph that starts Ulafi Zeh. I'm just quickly looking to see if I hope I'm not skipping anything important. Just a second. Oh, yeah. The Gemara, I just want to add this one thing before we start with the Lefi Zeh. The Gemara on Daf Zayin of Beis, in the name of Rav Kahana, has a Havamina that you could eat your Suda's Purim at night. And Rav Ashi sets the record straight, and he quotes a statement of Rava that if he eats his Suda at night of Purim, he's not Yotze. So the Gvuras Yitzchak wants to explain what was the Havamina of Rav Kahana that you could eat the Suda at night. And he claims that it wasn't that Rav Kahana thought that you could be yotzei your entire chiyuv at night, but that in addition to your chiyuv at day, you have another chiyuv at night. And why is that? Perhaps Rav Kahana understood, like in Simchas Yontif, where the day of Simcha and the chiyuv Simcha encompasses the entire day, maybe we should apply the same yardstick to Purim, and the entire day is from the beginning of the day till the end of the day, is a day of Simcha. And if Simcha requires Achilas Basar and Shasiyas Yayin, which means to set up a unique Seuda, then maybe even at the night of on the night of Purim we're required to do so. Comes along Rav Ashi and he says, no, Simcha on Purim is not like Simcha on Yontif, where on Yontif the entire day is encompassed in Simcha, but rather Simchas Purim is a Maisa Seuda, a Maisa Simcha. And that Maisa Simcha has to take place by day and not by night. So again, if you would encompass the entire day in Simcha, then it would make sense that you'd have to set up a Suda even at night, because it's not enough to set up a Seudah by day. But now that we're saying no, that the halacha is just pinpointing a moment of Seudah, the question is, when is that moment of Seudah, which is Simcha? Is it during the day or during the night? And the answer is, it's got to be by day. All right, now we're up to Lefizeh. He says that Simchas Purim, insofar as it's a Maisa Simcha, that's it. All he has to do during the course of the day of Purim is to eat basar and drink wine once, and that becomes a Maisa Simcha. It's going to be one action that's limited to one moment in time, and it's Shavu'ah Chaladah. It doesn't matter who you are, because that's the nature of the Chiyuv Simcha and Mishteh of Purim. But in the paragraph that starts Ulefi, he says the following, that the Rosh says in the seventh parak of Brachas, this is on line 4, to be yontif chayav lechol pas midin simcha. V'zerak biyontif shechayav liel sameach v'tov lev tamid v'chalkeu chetzi l'achila kalishna darosh sham dechayav adam lechol pas biyontif mishum simcha dechalkeu chetzi l'achila v'ikra achila hu lechem. Who passed? So it means that according to the Rosh, on Yontif, clearly you have to be Koveh Suda on Pas, because that's the Simcha, according to the Rosh, of Yontif. And that's another method in which you achieve the state of Sameach V'Tov Lev. But when we get to Purim, on the other hand, that's a Chiyuv of a Maisa Simcha, and it was never a Chiyuv of Pas. All we have with regard to Simcha as a Maisa Simcha is Ein Simcha El B'Basar V'Yayin. So there's no need and no justification to add and expand to Pas, because Ein Simcha El B'Basar V'Yayin, it doesn't say Pas. On Yontif, where we're trying to encompass the entire day into Simcha and to achieve the state of being of Sameach V'Tov Lev Tamid, there we want to be Koveh Suda La Pas, because that's going to give us another dimension of Simcha on the Yontif, which encompasses the entire day. But in Purim, where all you chayav in is a Simcha of a Maisa Simcha, and therefore you pinpoint and restrict it to certain moments during the day, hence, there's no requirement of being Koveh Suda Ala Pas. So we now have a new approach to the Marshal. The Marshal says that if you omit Ala Nisim in benching on Purim, you don't have to repeat benching, because there's no chiyuv to be Koveh Suda Ala Pas. I'm sorry. Start again. I meant to say the Magen Avraham. I got a little confused by the camera over here. I get confused sometimes when I'm distracted. So the Magen Avraham is saying that there's no chiv to be Koveh Suda Pas Al Purim. And now we begin to understand it. You know, when the entire day is encompassed and included in Simcha B'chol Rega V'rega B'chol Shav V'shav, then you have to set up a Suda, and you have to have B'kadim Tzivonim, if you're this, and you have to have Gozim, and you have to have Bosom. Yeah, you know, the whole 9 yards. But if we're talking about a Maisa Simcha, and the Halacha says the Maisa Simcha is Ein Simcha El B'Basav Yayin, there's no obligation to be Koveh Suda Ala Pas. And that's what I think he summarizes here in the paragraph Umeata on the left column, when he says Nirali D'Yesh Lamed D'Yisod Pluktas Amar Shalva Magen Avram Im Tzarech Lachzar, if he omitted Ala Nisim in benching, Amar Shal Svir Leidat Din Simcha B'Purim Amim Din Simchas Yontif. And if it's midin simchas yontif, then it encompasses the entire day. We just have to find different methods and different ways in which we achieve that sameach v'tov lev that encompasses the entire day. So that Purim now has a Torah's yontif, and the simcha of Purim is identical with the simcha of yontif, and therefore, just as in yontif he has to eat pas midin simcha, so too on Purim he's chayv to eat pas midin simcha. And therefore, if he omits ala nisim, he has to repeat berakas hamazon. However, in contrast, the Magen Avraham holds that Purim is not yontif as far as simcha is concerned. It's a separate mitzvah of maisa simcha, and that's not the simcha. It shouldn't be identified with the simcha of yontif, and therefore you don't have to eat pas. And therefore, if you leave out ala nisim, is Eino Chose. So that's for the time being what we want to accomplish here on Resh Mem Aleph. Now, Jeff, you photocopied, if I'm not mistaken, does it start on Resh Nun Gimel? Or am I?
Yeah.
Oh, excellent. So let's put down these pages here, and Billy Netter will try to get a chance to finish them up. And let's fast forward to Reish Nun Gimel, which is Simon Tes Zayin, which is Matanas Lev Yonin. And we start with the tour. The tour says in Simon Tov Reish Tzadi Dalin, Chayev Adam Kol Adam Litei Matanas Lev Yonin Ulefachot Shtei Matanas L'Shnei Aniyim. He has to give one gift to one Ani and another gift to another Ani. That's the tour. Now the super commentary on the tour is the Beis Yosef. And the Beis Yosef writes in the name of the Hagos Oshri that Mos Shechishe Belibo Lechelkom Biyoma Purim Eino Rashoy Lishnosam. So in other words, he decided to designate a certain amount of money for Matanas Lev Yonin. That's usually what we do. You know, we know that the Aniyim are going to come around, so we already mocked him Rufula Makav. We already put the money down and designated it. And he's not allowed to change his mind. Those mos that he decided to designate for the purpose of Matanas Lev Yonin have to be delivered to the Ani. Which means that according to the Hagos HaShri, Machshava is enough to generate a chiyuv tzedakah. I would give it my own twist. I would say in my formulation that it's chal in the chefta. No, it's like hegdesh, right? Hegdesh is chal v'machshava. So if I designate something for hegdesh, I can't make a change in that. It has a kedushas hegdesh. So too, there's a hegdesh of tzedakah, which means these mos are mos of tzedakah, and I can generate that through machshava. Machshav alone, usually, and therefore I can't change my mind.
Usually it's a mirror lehekdish.
Right, but I'm pretty sure that's only a derabbanan on a deraisa level. Hekdish is chal v'machshav, and there are shitas in stoka that stoka is chal v'machshav. Now for that we'd have to learn Yoredei Siman Reish Nun Ches, which is the siman of stoka. And we're going to see there a machlokas. Now we're going to one opinion that says that tztaka is chal b'machshava, and once I designate the money for tztaka, that money takes on a chal shem tztaka. Mm-hmm. You know, it halachically changes the status of the chefts of the mos, and the mos now have to be designated and delivered to the aniyim.
You have to have machshava on a particular money or just generally?
No, we're talking about particular money, because again he wants to now change it and use that money to go to the supermarket and buy himself a bottle of milk. So he can't do that because he already designated that specific coin.
Not an amount that I want to give £100.
This is relevant, by the way. You know, whenever we daven here anywhere in Yerushalayim, but you know, we have money jangling in our pocket. Now sometimes, again, I'm not saying this is always the case, you take money, you put it in your pocket, and you know that the aniyim are going to come around. And the question is, can you change your mind and use that
designated
money? He already designated, right? So I'll give you an example. Like this morning, I saw a couple of shekels on my wife's desk, and I took them because I knew that the aniyim were going to come around. Now, once I do that, I haven't said a word, but I've already, in my mind, designated that money, that there is a shita in Yoredeya, in Hilchus Tztaka, that once having done so, even though it was only Machshava, Tztaka is Chal v'Machshava. Now, I'm not sure, Alach L'maisa, I didn't get a chance to research this, whether we paskin like that Shita. But you should keep it in mind, that's a pun, that right, that you might have to deliver that money to Tztaka. Now, we want to understand a Gemara in Bav Metzia. The Gemara in Bav Metzia says the following. Migbas Purim, when they organize a country, what's it called? A campaign, we'll call it, right? If you have a better word, let me know. A campaign for money for Purim in the city, then that money has to go for Purim. Migbas Ha'ir, Lios Ha'ir. If a city designates money for its stock of a charity, it has to be used for the benefit of the city, or the aniyim in the city, or the entire city. Now keep in mind that there are two, I'm going to say individuals, but really it doesn't have to be an individual, it could be a group, but there are two individuals that are granted by the halacha control or dominion, if I could use that word, over most tzedakah. One is called a gabai, and the other is called the bnei ha'ir. The bnei ha'ir are the ultimate. They have the ultimate power over most of tzedakah. In other words, they will decide how the money will be earmarked. That's their prerogative. That's their authority. Below that, we have a secondary authority, and that's the gabai. Now, Tosis, again, we're not going to go into the sugya in Erechim, but Tosis says that when it says Migvas Purim LePurim, and it has to be designated for Purim, and he's not allowed to change it for something else, that's only the gabai. In other words, here, when it comes to Purim, we're restricting the authority of the gabai. He can't use that money for anything other than Purim. But there's a higher authority above that of the gabai, and that's called the Bnei Ha'ir. Tosfos says the Bnei Ha'ir are allowed to change that money, meaning to redirect it, even though it was initially earmarked for Purim, and use it for other purposes, for other mitzvahs, or other tzedakahs. That's one opinion. And there's another opinion which Tosfos quotes, and it's brought down in the Tur, and that is that even the Bnei Ha'ir, in this particular case, are not authorized to redirect mos that were collected and earmarked for Purim. Now, what we want to do now is we want to understand that opinion in Tosfos, which is quoted in the Tur, from the following perspective. We thought, as we started with Agos HaShri, that the regulations that govern tzedakah in general govern Most Purim and Matos of Yonim as well. That Purim is not an exception, it's just an extension or an application of the law, the general universal laws that apply to Tzedakah. Therefore we said that if Tzedakah is Chal B'Machshava and he can't change his mind, so too Most Purim would be Chal B'Machshava. But now when we get to this sheet in Tosfos, who says that even the Bnei Ha'ir have no authority to change Most Purim, that halacha deviates from the laws of tzedakah. In the laws of tzedakah, when we collect tzedakah money, the ultimate control over that money is in the hands of the Bnei Ha'ir, whoever the representatives are, maybe the Zayin Tuvair, whoever represents the city. But they have the ultimate power to decide how to use that money. You know,
distribute it?
Just one second.
Designate?
Yeah. Okay. Though they're all good words. I just, you know, sometimes I get hung up on a certain word, and if I can't remember it, it drives me crazy.
Allocate.
Excellent. That's the word.
Just call me the thesaurus.
How to allocate the money. So the ultimate, in Hilchas Tzedakah, who has the ultimate decision-making power to allocate the money? The Bnei Ha'ir. Now we're going with Tosfos and Bar Metzia, who says no. In the case of Purim, with regard to money that was designated for the poor people on Purim, that money cannot be reallocated even by the Bnei Ha'ir. So now, what conclusion do we have to derive? What mathematical conclusion do we have to derive from this sheet of Tosfos?
Purim is more common.
That Purim is not tzedakah. Purim does not equal tzedakah. And this is the chakira of this Siman Tazayin. Let's just see how many pages it goes in. One second, this got confused me a little bit. I'm going to take out this staple because... When you staple pages in Hebrew, it's got to be on the right side. Okay. Yeah. So let's see. So you have Reishon and Gimel, and then you have Reishon and Dalet, and then you have Reishon and He. These three pages are dedicated to the following question, the following chakira. How do we define Matodos Levyonim? Is Matodos Levyonim just simply tzedakah, just that it's on this day and it's an absolute obligation on the conditional, or is Matodos Levyonim a new halachic entity with its own rules and regulations? So for example, let's assume, like the other Shita in Yoredeya Siman Reishon and Ches, not the one that he quotes here, the one that says Machshava is not Koveas money for tzedakah. that in stock, even though I thought I would designate this money, but I never actually designated it. Mm-hmm. And if I have a right to change that money, what would he say about machshava in Matanis Levyonim? It could possibly be that if Matanis Levyonim is not staka, it has its own kiyum and its own dinim and its own regulations, and it could be that machshava alone would be enough to generate the iser of ein royal shanos, ein rashoy lishanos. He can't change it. Even if it's staka, he would be able to change it. So, for example, when we saw the Agos HaShri, and the Agos HaShri says that with regard to Mos Purim, if he thought about those Mos, he has to give them out to the Aniyim on Purim, and Ein Rashay L'Shanosam, it could be that the Agos HaShri would hold that in the same case, a parallel case in Staka, he would be allowed L'Shanosam. But this is a separate din in Mos Purim, that Mos Purim is Chal B'Machshava. And where do we see that Mos Purim has its own unique halacha? We see it in Tosfos and Bava Metzia, who holds, and the Torah brings out such a shita, that even the Bnei Ha'ir, who as a general universal rule in Staka are authorized to reallocate funds, nevertheless in the case of Mos Purim, they cannot reallocate funds. So let's say, for example, the Bnei Ha'ir, they have their committee meeting, like a kibbutz, you know, has a kibbutz meeting, and they decide we have to build a bridge. It's absolutely critical. The children are being brought on a daily basis to Cheder, what's called Tashbar, and they have to cross over the river that splits the town in half, like for example in Budapest, right? The Danube is the middle between Buda and Pest, right? So we have a bridge. The bridge is not healthy. It's not solid. It's a rackety old bridge. We have to spend money on replacing it. We can take money that was collected for Tztaka, and the Bnei Ha'ir could reallocate those funds. Could they reallocate money that was designated for Matanos Levyonim for the sake of building a bridge? And the answer is, according to Tosfos, absolutely not. So you see that Matanos Levyonim does not dance to the tune of Tztaka. It has its own beat. It has its own rules and regulations. That's what this piece is all about. Now, I'm looking at my watch, and I want to throw out a question to you. You know, we'll make a democratic, we'll take a vote, and then I'll decide. But would you like to do a little machshava today, or do you want to stick to halacha? Want to do a little bit of machshava? It's the end of the week,
yeah.
And it's good to have a little hashkafa on Purim. So what else, Jeff, did we hand out? So again, I have to make sure that I don't lose my place here. On Reish Nun Gimel, if everybody could please remind me that we're up to Reish Nun Gimel, because I'm going to forget. Okay, and now
we have the Pachim Yitzchak.
Yeah, but I want to do first the Gvuris okay. Yitzchak, and then we'll get to the Pachim Yitzchak. So first the power, and then the fear. Okay, where do we have
Shin Pei Aleph?
Oh, excellent, Shin Pei Aleph. Just give me a second. I'm always moving around here from one thing to the other. Okay, very good. Shin Pei Aleph. Okay.
Thank you.
So again, what pages do we give out? From Shin Pei Aleph until what?
Shin Ayin Bet.
Until Shin Ayin Bet. Okay, very good. Until Shin Ayin Bet. Just see if I have that. Shin Pei Dalet. Shin Pei Dalet. One second. I'm a little bit. Just hold on for a second. Shin Pei Hey. Shin Pei Vav. Shin Pei Zion. Shin Pei Chet. Shin Pei Tet. And Shin Sadi. Well, I don't have. Wait,
Shin Pei Aleph is the end.
Oh, okay. You have to move the staple. The staple. Yeah. That's the staple is confusing you. In Hebrew, you have to put the staple on the other side of the page.
Well, Shin Pei, you have to pick up the.
So you really at Shin Ayin Bet is where it starts.
It starts on Shin Ayin Bet.
That's where the handouts.
Okay, good. That's what I wanted to know. Exactly what I wanted to know. Where did the handouts? Because you think I remember. Okay.
Sorry.
So you have Shin Ayin Bet, correct?
The staple is on the right side.
Good. And then you have Shin Ayin Gimel, correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you should have Shin Ayin He. Shin Ayin Dalet and Shin Ayin He, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to change the order a little bit if you don't mind. Let's start on Shin Ayin Tes. Inyon Yud Ches. Nenu Misudoso Shalach HaShverosh. All right, the Gemara says that when they asked Rav Shimon Bar Yochai and Megillah Daf Yud Beis, why did we deserve to be destroyed? And why was the Gzeira of Haman accepted on high? And he answered, "Bishum shenenu misudaso shall also rosha." Now, I want to just make the following point, and again, I may be off base here, but I have the intuition that most people, if you ask them what image they conjure up in mind, what kind of person was Ahasuerus, they'll say, you know, he was a foolish king. He enjoyed this, and I'm not going to go into all his hedonistic pleasures that it described. But, you know, basically he's like a neutral parva type of guy. Not so. That's a big, big mistake. A gigantic mistake. Ahasuerus was a Rasha Marusha. Probably a half a notch lower than Haman. I mean, there's not much difference. And that's why if you take a look carefully at Rav Shimon Bar Yochai's answer to his Talmidim, Shekeinenu Misudoso Shal Oso Rasha. He doesn't even call him by name. He calls him a Rasha. And the Gemara has in Megillah a whole discussion about his name, the name Ahasuerus, what does it mean? And whatever it is, whatever answer the Gemara gives, it's always about Rishus. I mean, whether it's the same Rishus as Nebuchadnezzar, whether it's the fact that he tried to, that he was very glad and happy to, more than happy to sign the decree of Haman and destroy the Jewish people. But in this article, he quotes the Nesivus. Now, the Nesivus is more famous for his work in Halacha, and less well known for his work in Agadita and Hashkafa. But here, the Nesivus took the time to write a commentary on Megillus Esther. And in that commentary, he tells you, he reveals to you, or to me at least, what the agenda of Ahasuerus was. And this is really way out. So you'll see this in a paragraph that starts with the word venire. And on the second line in that paragraph, you'll see a very fancy Hebrew word, which I'm sure is not in the Nesivus, but anyway, magamat. Do you see that word? You know, the Israelis use that word a lot. Magamat is what you'd call the agenda or the goal. What was Ahasuerus' goal in life, so to speak? What moved the man? Other than pleasures, you want to be with women or be with wine and the whole bit. But other than that, on a spiritual level, what was his goal? What was his agenda? Says the Nesivus, Lahachti Yisrael. Do you see those two words?
Yeah.
Lahachti Yisrael. You know, this sounds more like Hanukkah than Purim, because if you ask yourself what was the agenda of the Yevanim, it was religious persecution. So maybe in and of himself, Ahasuerus wouldn't have had the gumption to annihilate the Jewish people. You know, he waited for Haman to take that initiative. He was very fine with that idea, because that would certainly get rid of the Jewish people. But at this point, if you ask Ahasuerus if he would reveal what's in his heart of hearts, what's your agenda, what's your goal, he would say, Lahachti Yisrael. Why? And this comes from an entire worldview of Ahasuerus. Ahasuerus's worldview was on the second line, L'salek HaKedusha. Do you see that? At the end of the second line? The third line, actually. Mei Ha'aretz. Now, the word Ha'aretz here, I think, means the globe. The entire universe. And what was his goal? Number one, the means to his goal would be L'salek HaKedusha Min Ha'aretz, to remove Kedusha. But his real goal was L'hashrish HaTuma Ba'aretz. He wants to root Tuma in the land. The land means the entire universe. We find this, for example, in the Alshich's interpretation of the Dara Flugger. What motivated the Dara Flugger when they wanted to build a tower? Says the Alshich, they wanted to remove Kedusha in location and space. There was a Kedusha of Yerushalayim, there was a Kedusha of Beis HaMikdash, These are places of Hashras HaShchina. What they wanted was Hashras HaTumah. And Tumah means rebellion against God. They wanted to establish in the Makom HaMikdash a Migdal which meant going up and fighting against Shemayim. That's called Hashras HaTumah. Achashverosh says the Nesivus was the same. He had the same identical gender. His interest was Lakar Yisrael. If we get rid of the Jews, we no longer have Kedusha. Now nature abhors a vacuum. If there's a vacuum of Kedusha, what's going to fill that vacuum? Tumah, exactly Tumah. Once Chaser Makom Hashras HaShchina, Hashras HaKedusha, Yelo Koach, now Achashverosh can institute his goal of Hashras HaTumah Ba'aretz. Now, every agenda of that sort has to have a capital. You know, if the whole world, the whole universe is going to be Hashras HaTumah, where's the capital? Shushan. Shushan is to Hashras HaTumah what Yerushalayim Lahavdilav is to Hashras HaShchina. Now, if Shushan is going to be the Birah, this is the capital city of Tumah, then we have a principle called Zeh L'umah Zeh. Are you familiar with that? And that means that whatever exists in Kedusha has its parallel in Tumah. Mm-hmm. And therefore, if we go through the parsha of Hashras HaShchina of Kedusha in the Mishkan, we'll see various parts of the Mishkan. Each one of those parts of the Mishkan had its parallel in the banquet of Achashverosh. In the banquet of Achashverosh, he has Ritzpas Bahat, he has Sheish, he has different parts, which the Nesivus goes through each one of these parts and shows you that they replaced those parts of the Mikdash. And there's a parallel between them all. Because again, Zelu Maseh, if you want to uproot uproot Kedusha and replace it with Tumah, you got to do it with the same mechanics that generate Kedusha. Now you have to get the mechanics that will generate Tumah. And the Gemara tells us that what was Achashverosh wearing when he showed up at the banquet? The Big Day Kahuna, again, because in Hashras HaKedusha you need Big Day Kahuna in the Beis HaMikdash. Now in Shushan, which is this the capital, the center of Tumah, you need Big Day Kahuna. So Achashverosh lucked out because he had access to Big Day Kahuna. What else did he have access to from the Mikdash?
Kalim.
Exactly. Kalim, Kalim Shonim. Right in the Nigun of Eicha. Why is he bringing the clay of Mikdash to this Suda? Because this Suda is a public declaration of initiating his program and taking it up to a higher notch of Shushan being the capital of Tumah. And the message that's below the surface, right? The hidden message is get rid of the Jews. Because as long as the Jews are around, they're going to build a Mikdash. And if they build a Mikdash, then it's going to be Hashras HaKedusha. We got to get rid of them, so there won't be any Hashras HaKedusha, says the Nesivus. Instead, it'll be replaced by Hashras HaTumah. And if that be the case, why? We have an answer to the question. Why does history tell us, Tanakh tells us, that it took the Jews at the time of Ezra 22 years to build the second Beis HaMikdash? They could have built it in a couple of months. The answer is because Achashverosh stopped the building of the Beis HaMikdash. And when Esther pleads in front of the king and he says, so you can ask for anything, say Chazal, anything but one thing, and that's the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is antithetical to Achashverosh's essence and his agenda, because the Beis HaMikdash represents Hashras HaKedusha, and what Achashverosh wants is Hashras HaTumah. And therefore begin to understand why is it so severe that the Jewish people participate in that Seuda. Because that Seuda, that banquet, and also, you know, we're going to answer even a more basic question. Why does the Megillah begin with that banquet? I mean, just Gidol HaMelech Es Haman. Just start with Haman. I mean, the whole Megillah is all about the Gzeira and God intervening to save Yisrael from the Gzeira. Who cares about the banquet? The answer is, the banquet indicates what is at the root of the hatred of the Jew. The hatred of the Jew is because the Jew represents Hashras HaKedusha. And here, in this banquet, Achashverosh is publicly declaring I want to take the big day kahuna. I want to take the kelim. I'm going to set up a suda. That suda is going to be a sudas tumah and not a sudas kedusha. And how do I do it? How do I accomplish my goal? Zelu maseh. So he invites the Jews. And he invites the Jews to witness and participate in their undoing, so to speak, in their replacement in tumah replacing kedusha. And in that sense, it was a very severe, I'm understanding, in violation of the Jews to show up and participate in that Sa'ud. And unfortunately, even in today's contemporary society, we have what we call self-hating Jews. We have a little bit, I shouldn't say that loud, because if the Barditcher was here, he would chop my head off for it, but we have a little bit too many of those Jews. One of them, I'm afraid, that's why people ask me why I vote Republican these days, but there's one particular Democrat, I won't mention his name, he's intermarried, and he's a Jew. He's a typical, classical case of a self-hating Jew. You may know who I have in mind. And if Chas v'Shalom, he comes to power in America, it's like that guy in England, what's his name?
Corbyn,
if he comes to power. I mean, again, and I think America is even more dangerous to the Jewish people than Britain.
He's not Jewish.
Ben, did you want to say something? No, he's not Jewish.
He's not Jewish.
Just historically, wasn't it Achashverosh's son or grandson Koresh that allowed the Jews to come back to the Second Temple period? Or
right, Koresh encouraged the Jews to build the Beis Hamikdash, and Achashverosh stopped it. And there were many periods of time where Ezra had to stop the period of building the Beis Hamikdash. And the reason for that is because he wanted to undermine the Beis Hamikdash. So when Koresh came around, we were in much better shape. But now we're not ready for Koresh yet. We're up to Achashverosh. And at the period of Achashverosh is concerned, Achashverosh doesn't want the Beis Hamikdash to be built. And according to the Sivas, that's because of his entire Weltanschauung, his entire goal and agenda in life. And that's why Nenu Miosa Seuda was such a serious violation. But now we're on page Shin Pei. And we're up to the words Ve'oge Shlomer. Here, he quotes a Gemara in Masechta Kiddusha. The Gemara speaks about anius. Anius literally means poverty, but the word poverty in a Torah perspective has two different meanings. It could mean it could mean monetary poverty, or it could mean spiritual poverty. In this case, we're talking about spiritual poverty. And the Gemara says in Kiddushim Emtes that Asara Kavan Anius Yardli Olam Tisha Natla Bavel. My anius the Torah, the chsiv, achos lanu ktana, this apostle, Shir Shadayim, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, zu ilam, she zochsa lilmod, velo zochsa lilamed. Rashi says, Daniel umardachai lohoyu doram oskim b'torah. The generations of both Daniel and Mardachai, we're focused today on the generation of Mardachai, were not dedicated to the study of Torah. And therefore, so anyone who teaches Torah has to realize the reason why he's able to teach Torah is because the Dar is royal. They are interested in Torah study. You can't teach Torah if the people aren't interested. Sometimes they're interested, but they're interested in other things as well. So they don't show up. But we won't go into any detail about that. But Behine, the Megillah Daf Yud Aleph. You can see it's the end of the week, Rav Osadia. Actually, it's not the end of the week because I work more on Shabbos than I do on a regular weekday. That's the paradigm, the paradox of being a rabbi. Everybody else gets off on Shabbos. It's Yom Menucha. It's a great day of Shabbos for Yinofash. For a rabbi has to get more nervous on Shabbos than he does the rest of the week. That's what Chazal say. That a rabbi is always afraid of Shabbos. So I heard a very contemporary knesh on what it means. Why is a rabbi afraid of Shabbos? So he said, because the whole week long, if you ask a rabbi a question, all he has to do is Google it. It'll get the answer over the internet. So he's afraid of Shabbos because any question he asks, he can't Google it. He doesn't have access to the internet on Shabbos. Anyway, so the Gemara tells us, Rav Elazar pasuk le pischal ay parshas mehachu pirush Rashi kshaya rotza lidrosh bigeres purim emaschul lidrosh mekorzeh baltzatayim. Baltzatayim means atzlus. It means a laid back attitude of someone who's lazy. And it says yimach hamikra. And it says that that what does mean yimacha mikra? Again, I'm not going into all the details here, but the word mikra is a pseudonym for the Almighty God, and yimach means he becomes poor, and God himself, Kaviyochel, becomes poor, meaning he doesn't have the ability to save the Jewish people. Why? Because of alt atzlatayim. Atzlatayim means atzlus. And the Gemara says, Bishvil atzlus shahoyel em liyisrael shelo osku batorah, Nase sono shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu mach. The word sono here is a pseudo, is a what's the word in how do you say in English on Loshana Saginor, is a
euphemism
for the Almighty. So this is a euphemism for the Almighty, that he becomes like a sone to Klal Yisrael, so meaning he doesn't have the ability to save Klal Yisrael, because a God is infinite. You know, he has all the abilities, omnipotent. But nevertheless, in this particular case, since the divine decree of according to justice was that the Jews forfeited their rights because they weren't dedicated to Torah study, therefore God, so to speak, became a poor person, that he wasn't able to save the Jewish people.
Mach means
poor. Right. You'll see that in the parasha of Erechin in the Torah.
Oh, yeah.
You remember that?
I can, yeah.
Anyway, now we're going to, for the first time in all our months of learning, we're going to look at the Ramchal, Rav Moshe Chaim Litzato, who says in his Mesilas Yesharim Perek Tes that the very heavy atzlus of laziness is because a person desires physical rest. He wants to be in a state of rest, and he loves pleasures, and he doesn't have the push and the motivation to overcome his needs and his desires for rest and for pleasures in order to look for spirituality and put all his efforts into Torah study. Now, in the Tanchuma, which is very famous in Parshas Noach, the Tanchuma addresses itself to a comparison between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh. Did we mention this Tanchuma in the past? I thought we did. Maybe it was last year. And the Tanchuma says that Torah Shebichsav is relatively easy. You know what I mean by easy? You know, you can go to a class. They give you the Taich, and they give you a little archaeology, and it's very nice. But Torah Shebaal Peh is not like that. Torah Shebaal Peh requires absolute dedication. Haravanya, right? Yigia, Amelus. There are no shortcuts, and this is all based on the Tanchuma in Parshas Noach. The Tanchuma in Parshas Noach says that Adam ki yomis ba'olam, that the Torah is only Adam shebeimis atzma Torah. That's Torah Shebaal Peh. The Tanchuma goes on to say that Kof Aleim Harki Gigis was on Torah Shebaal Peh. They had no problem accepting Torah Shebichsav. And then he writes, which is very famous because the Rambam codifies this Tanchuma in Hilchas Talmud Torah, V'kach, on the top left, Darko shel Torah pasva mel tochal, umayim ba'meshore tishtev, al oretz tisham v'chayitzar tichya b'torah ta'omel, amelus b'torah requires a great deal of sacrifice and amelus.
Oh.
So now let's go back to the Gemara that we started with. The Talmidim were wondering why HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought about this gzeirah of annihilation. What were they guilty of? Nira, he wants to suggest that Klal Yisrael also darnis atzlu b'esek haTorah shebaal peh. They were interested in enjoying life, and the pleasures of life very often undermine the ability of a person to dedicate himself to the study of Torah shebaal peh. Torah Shebaal Peh requires absolute dedication 24/7. It requires every ounce of energy. There's no room for distractions, for Tanugei Olam Hazeh. Oh, now we get to Sudoso Shel Oso Rosha. Why did they look at the emphasis here? You see, according to the original pshat that we suggested, they were participating and even, so to speak, supporting the agenda of Achashverosh to create a Hashra'as HaTumah. Then it didn't have to say shenenu misudaso shelo shoro. What's the emphasis is on nehenu? It could have said shitztarfu, yeah, or hofiu. Yeah. You know, the very fact that they showed up. You know, there was a seating card, and it said my name on it. You know, that itself means I'm part of this agenda. You know what I mean? So like, you remember 29, I forget exactly, was the first convention of the Agudas Yisrael. So there were certain rabbis who didn't show up because they belonged to the Mizrahi. So, you know, if you show up at a convention, it's almost by definition a statement that you're part of it. But the Nenu Misuda, so what is that doing here? So now he's suggesting another pshat, that since the Sefer, the Tanchuma, sets up an either or choice, there's an alternative, there are two alternatives, but they're mutually exclusive. You take your choice. You decide whether you're interested in enjoying life, which is Tanugi Olam Hazeh, or you want Torah, and Torah Shebal Peh specifically, which is Yigia, Pasma Mel Tochal, etc. When the Jews made the decision to go to the party, they were basically making a decision that we're interested in Tanugi Olam Hazeh. This party, this banquet, was very special. If you know a little bit about the culture of Paras U'Modai, the way Chazal projected and presented, this was a purely hedonistic party or banquet. Mm-hmm. You know, in our society today, if a banquet like that would take place anywhere in the United States of America, you would have traffic that would be backed up from the West Coast to the East Coast. Everybody wanted to be part of this party. It was great. I mean, especially if you like to drink, and there were other things going on there which I don't want to get into, this was the greatest bash in the world. You know what I'm saying? Now, I don't know if they gave out... Did they have drugs in those days? I don't know.
Yes.
They did? Oh, so they probably gave that out also for free. You know? This was quite a joint to go to. And therefore, Klal Yisrael made a statement that they're going to participate in this Suda. In that either or choice, and they had a decision either to dedicate themselves to Torah study or to be part of this whole culture of Paras U'Modai, they became allured and sucked into the whole culture of Paras U'Modai, the pleasure-seeking hedonistic culture. And therefore, Nenu Misuda Soshala, they were interested in Hanah, that's what motivated them. They really were making a statement, or perhaps this was a symptom or an expression of where their agenda, where their priorities were. Their priorities were not in Torah. That's what we called in the Gemara Nis'atzlu. Remember the Gemara Megillah Daf Yud Aleph from Loza Posachle, and he says Atzotayim, meaning they were... There was atzlus. They weren't dedicated to the study of Torah. And kihem chayenu v'yorach yameinu. Our right to exist as a nation is kihem chayenu. The Torah itself is our chiyus, and therefore we forfeited our chiyus. Now at this point, he quotes the Pachad Yitzchak. We have a photocopy of the Pachad Yitzchak. Maybe we'll take a break here. I know what. Let's finish up the Pachad Yitzchak. As it's quoted here in the Gevurah. So it's, again, it's the Gevurah Yitzchak quoting the Pachad Yitzchak. And he says the following. Shavuos is called Zman Matan Torah Seinu. The Torah is described in Tanakh as Torah Or, the light of Torah. Purim, LaYehudim Hoysa Ora. And the Gemara says, Ora Zu Torah. What does that mean? Well, the Gemara says in Shabbos, on Daf Peches, that on Purim, Hodar Kiblu of the Ava. In other words, the first Kabbalah Satorah at the time of Har Sinai was compulsory. Kof Aleim HaKigigas. The second Kabbalah, which is at the time of Purim, was the Ava, was self-motivated. My time in Nikra Gufa, the Ivdash al Purim, Ora Velo Torah. And he wants to know, why is it that instead of saying La Yehudim Hoysa Torah, the Pasuk says La Yehudim Hoysa Ora, and Chazal say that Ora Zu Torah, but the Megillah could have been explicit and called by its name. Call it Torah. Why do you have to call it Ora? It's true that Torah are, but why not just call it by its name? And he says the following, that the brother of the Gaon, I'm forgetting his name, I think his name was Zalmala, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, the brother of the Gaon wrote a book called Milas HaTorah. And in that book, he writes that the Torah is called Or, based on the Pasuk in Mishlei, Torah Or, Because Hevle Olam Hazeh Nikra Choshech. If you want to know why Torah is called Or, it's because the pleasures of this world are called Choshech. As it says in a Pasuk, V'hoya B'mechashech Maseihem. Now, I'm not sure where that Pasuk is. If anybody has a... again, I'm afraid of Shabbos here, but it's not Shabbos. Do you want to look that up for me? Do you have Sephraya or whatever you have there? Okay? But just underline the Pasuk so you'll know what words to plug in. It's about 10 lines up from the end of the paragraph. The first word in the line is Choshech. Do you see such a... So move across with your finger, and he has that Pasuk. This is already, I think, if I'm not mistaken, Koheles. So again, the concept of hedonistic pleasures is called Choshech in Tanakh. And the flip side, which means I'm not interested, that's not my priority in life, is Torah. That's called Or, the opposite of Choshech. Lefi Zedir, it came into Shorash Adover. What was the problem here? What was the root of the guilt of Israel? Was Lo Osku B'Torah, and therefore Mordechai wasn't able to teach Torah, and that's because of Machshakim Maseim, the same pasuk, which means they were interested in Tanuge Olam Hazeh, Hevle Olam Hazeh. That's why they ran to participate. They got front seats in the... or maybe they sat next to the bar in the banquet of Chashverosh. Is therefore chasera bi'avosam l'shem. There was no room for a total, absolute, all-encompassing love for God, which would have led them to lohamis atzmal ator, to give up and forego on the pleasures of the world for the sake of learning Torah Shebal Peh bi'igia. And then they did tshuva. Kishechazur b'tshuva. Then, when they decided they're no longer running and pursuing all these hedonistic pleasures, which are called choshech, then they were ready, lahamis atzma bohela shel Torah, out of the ava, they would give up on the pleasures of life for the sake of total dedication to yigia and amelus b'torah. L'kach nikreis chagapurim, ora, velo Torah. Why ora? Because the word ora is in contrast to the word Machshakim of Chashech of Choshech, the Yisoda Yontif. What is the essence of Purim? Shechazu b'tshuva. They would no longer be Nene Misudasa Shalosa Rosha. They would not be Shakua in Choshech of Olam Hazeh, but rather they are dedicated to the R of Torah. The R of Torah means the love for Torah, the dedication to Torah, the Lohamis Atzmo B'Hol Shal Torah, to an absolute all encompassing dedication to Torah Shebal Peh. That was the tshuva that they did. That's why it's called Or.
Yishayahu Kaftet Tevav.
Wait, slowly, I'm sorry.
Yishayahu Kaftet Tevav.
So wait a minute, if you're already a helper here, can you mind helping me a little more? Where's the pasuk Yeshi Taran L'Chachma Nasichlus? I thought it was in Koheles, but I'm just taking a guess. So that's number Yud Ches. Now, let's take a look at the Pachad Yitzchak in Yud Ches. Everybody have that?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yosef, did you get a copy of that?
Which one is it?
Pachad Yitzchak. It's a separate page. It's not part of that...
I don't think so.
No? Do we run out? Or?
Oh, thank you.
Okay.
What's the pasuk again? Yeshi Teron or...
Yesh yitaron lechachma min ha-sichlut ki yitaron ha-or min ha-choshech. I'll just make a note of where the pasuk is.
Kohelet bet yudgiva.
Not bad. Okay. I didn't know Yishai. Ra'iti
ani sheyesh yitaron lechachma min ha-sichlut ki yitaron ha-or min ha-choshech.
Is yud bet yudgiva?
No, bet.
Oh, bet yudgiva. Bet yudgiva, sorry. Mm-hmm. Okay, bet... All right, that's good.
Thank you.
Kosav Agra. Hamahalach b'chol yontif hu chetzil Hashem chetzil lachem. We pass like Rabbi Yeshua and Pesachim Samaches that we divide up our day into two equal halves. Shnei zmanim yotzim hem min haklal hazeh. Although this klal is true for every yontif, there are two exceptions. And the two exceptions go on two different extremes. Mm-hmm. Yom Kippur is Kul Hashem. Purim is Kul Lachem.
Kippur.
Ella, now this is the Pagan Yisro talking, L'kushta Vilsin, all truth, Ein kan shum yotzim in a klal. This is really, says the Gaon, I'm sorry, I said it was the Pagan Yisro, I meant to say it's the Gaon, that this is not really an exception to the rule, because we're going to integrate both days of Kippurim and Purim into one entity. It's one holiday. And therefore, this is not an exception to the rule, because once I integrate the two, and Shnei B'yachim Avinim Moed Echa, they become one Moed, then this Moed has Chetzil Lachem and Chetzil Lachem. So the Pagan Yitzchak wants to give a little bit more of a taste, a good taste to this God, meaning he wants to embellish it. He says the following. The Gemara tells us in Shabbos that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was sending the people of Israel out to Golus, then he went to the Avos, and the Avos were praying on behalf of Klal Yisrael, and they weren't succeeding. HaKadosh Baruch Hu in each case was rejecting the prayers, until he got to Yitzchak. And Yitzchak made a statement. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Yitzchak, you're praying on behalf of the people of Israel, but they're so guilty of sin, you want me not to destroy the Migdash, not to send them into exile, but they have so many sins. So Yitzchak says, Palga alai upalga alecha. Let me take on myself the responsibility for half of their sins. You, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, be mochel half their sins, and I'll take the rest of the sins. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepted that tithe. So Rabbi Yitzchak Blazer, have you heard of him? He was the outstanding Talmud of whom?
Yisrael Salanter.
Excellent, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. He, the way I know him, he was called Itzala Petterberger because he came from the city of Petterberg. His stepson was a Rashiv at YU. In any event, he was one of the shining lights in the Musa movement, and he was also a great Lamdin, a great Talmud Chacham, because in Rabbi Yisrael Salanter's philosophy, you know, if you're not a Talmud Chacham, don't even bother. Forget about the Musa movement, you know. In one of his letters, he writes that the first requirement as a Jew who fears God is to know all of Shas, Bavli, Yerushalmi, all of the Chazal, all of the Poskim, to the extent to which you could Poskim on any child. That's just the basics. Then we can talk about Yira, and then we can talk about Musa. But no, Rabbi Yitzchak Blazer wrote a sefer called Priya Aretz, which a lot of very profound chidushim in halacha. He writes the following. There's a famous statement in the Gemara in Brachos on Daf Yud Zayin. Actually, you know, in the back of the sefer, he actually tells you where the Mar Makomos are. Just give me a second here. I think they're here. Oh, Tziyune Makoros. This should be it. Let's see if I'm right. Inyan Ches. Oh. First of all, he tells you where to find the Gaon. That's in a sefer called Likutei Agra. Then he tells you where to find Chetzil Hashem, Chetzil Lachem. That I told you. Psachim, he has it from Beit Zadav Tesvav. It appears twice in Shas. Then as far as the Gemara in Shabbos that I mentioned before, the Taino of Yitzchak Avinu, that's in Shabbos Pei Tesam in Beis. And now he quotes the Gemara in Brachos Yud Zayin. So the Gemara in Brachos on Daf Yud Zayin goes through each Amora off as his postscript to Shmon Esrei. Our minhag is according to, I think it's Rav, who says Elokein Tzar that we have. But each Amora off as his separate, his own personal prayer. And I don't remember which of the Amorim, would have to open up a Gemara in Bracha, says, Ritzonenu lasas ritzonecha, God, have mercy on us, because we really want to fulfill your will. Why don't we fulfill your will? There are two ma'akvim. There are two powers or forces on earth that are barriers and prevent us from achieving what we really want to do. Our ratzon is to do your ratzon. And that's Sa'ar Sheva Isa, which means the Eitzahara. And number two, the Shibud Malchis, the fact that we live amongst the nations, and the nations prevent us from fulfilling your will. I just looked at my watch, and I see some bad news. It's time for Mincha. So once again, I'm going to ask you to do me a favor and tell me, remind me where we got up to, and Billy Netter will try to finish this up next week. Thank you so much. Wish everyone a great Shabbos.